Hear the birds yet?
Neighborhood, just letting the medical workers know that we're praying for them.
That's awesome. That's good. Good, good. We are, it looks like all indications are that we are going to start trying to reopen this economy at the end of the month.
Well, I pray that's the case, and I know the whole country's praying toward that end as well. And I know that's a major decision that's on Trump's heart. That's the reason why we need to be praying extra hard for him and his leadership team. But it sounds like that's going to be the case.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's going to be some pockets that are going to have to be longer than that. You know, New York and some other places that it's really, you know, not. It's actually getting under control there, but they need a few more weeks to really get it behind them. But I've been tracking the numbers every day and in lots of places in Texas and California and a few others, it's really just been almost a non-issue.
Right.
So hopefully we can get some of this going again.
How many employees you have, JJ?
We have about 550.
Wow.
Yep, about 550. And so we started this prayer call about 3 weeks ago now, and we do it every morning at 10 o'clock Central Time. And I have been leading that almost every day, but I've had a little help. Tony Nolan has jumped in a few times, and Michael Tate jumped in, and then Nick Halls has done one.
Right.
So I tried to get somebody to do it on Sundays, just to kind of not only break it up for everybody that's calling in, but also just to kind of go, you know, get a different view
sure.
of my view, but just a different, you know, just hear somebody different on Sundays. So. It's been really good. I feel like, you know, especially, you know, at the start of this thing, it was just so unknown and so so much anxiety around this whole coronavirus
sure.
thing that I just thought, you know what, let's just hit the pause button at 10 o'clock every morning and let's just stop and let's just focus on the Lord, because it really
yes.
is all that matters. All this other stuff is just noise.
Be
anyway.
Still and know that I'm God. Amen.
That's exactly right. So we just wanted to hit the pause button at 10 o'clock and just say, God, we're going to turn to you for this next. And I started out, it was just a prayer at 5 minutes, and then we just started kind of talking a few things about the Bible and how it applies to our life each day. And so we, you know, drug it out to about 10 minutes every day, and then on Sundays we go a little longer. It's 10:02, Rick, so why don't we get started. Before you get into what you have for us today, just take a couple moments here. Just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, you know, that you grew up in the Houston area.
Yeah.
And a little bit about your family, and then a little bit about what you do now.
Well, that's actually how I was going to get started, JJ. Good morning, everyone. And I'd like to say welcome to the Texas Trans Eastern service, Easter service. But let me just say, JJ, to you, how much I appreciate you and just want to express my gratitude for you, for this opportunity. And also, I want to just say praise God for your leadership and the compassion you have for your people who make up your great company. But I, as you said, I grew up in the Houston area. I actually grew up in Friendswood. I'm a 1977 graduate from Friendswood High School. Went off to Brenham, Texas after I got out of high school to play football at Blinn Junior College. And after spending a couple of years at Blinn Junior College, I transferred to a small college up in Lawton, Oklahoma called Cameron University. And after my football career ended at Cameron, I went into the coaching profession. Spent a year coaching at West Texas State University up in Canyon. And before I moved down to Lubbock to become an assistant coach at Texas Tech. And while I was coaching at Texas Tech, that's when my life really began to drift far from God. In fact, I've said it many a times, my life was a million miles away from God, and I was on a highway of self-destruction. And I received a phone call one night from my evangelist father, the late Dr. Freddie Gage, who actually grew up on the north side of Houston and he spent 50 years in evangelistic ministry and saw more than 1 million souls come to know Christ under his ministry. And I've often said, you know, if anybody should have been a champion for God, it should have been me. But my dad called me one night and said, Rick, our good friend, James Robinson's going to be speaking in a church there in Lubbock next Sunday. Why don't you go here and preach? And during those days, I didn't go to church. Didn't have a desire to go to church. I remember telling my dad, I said, Dad, we're in the middle of recruiting season, and I'm not even sure I'll be in town next weekend. And he said, well, son, if you're in town, try to go hear James preach. And, that following Sunday came around, and I happened to be home, and I slept in that Sunday morning like I normally did back during those days. But when that evening came around, something within me said, get in your car and go hear the friend of the family preach. In fact, I'd heard James preach before when I was a little junior high kid growing up in Friendswood. He had a crusade at Pasadena Memorial Stadium, and I went and heard him preach one night in Pasadena. But I got my car that night, and I drove to Trinity Church there in Lubbock to hear this well-known evangelist preach. Walked inside the auditorium. It was packed out from wall to wall, and I was able to find a seat way in the back. And little did I know that night that God had an appointment with my life. And the sermon that he preached that night was a powerful message on the subject of repentance. Of course, Jesus said, unless you repent of your sins, you'll perish. And I remember that night, James asking everybody the question, do you know for certain if you died tonight that you would go to heaven? And even though I'd, you know, made a spiritual decision when I was 8 years old at First Baptist Friendswood, I realized that night that I didn't have a relationship with God. I didn't have the real thing. I was a fake. I was a phony. And when he gave the altar call that night, I remember the Spirit of God speaking to me loudly and clearly and said, Rick Gage, you've had many chances to get your life right with me, and if you reject my Spirit again tonight, you'll have no more chances. And I believe with all my heart, if I would have left that service that night, not doing business with God, and been killed on the way home, or OD'd on cocaine, I wouldn't be on this phone call this morning. I'd be in hell. And I've often said, if there's one thing that I'm grateful for, I'm 62 years of age, and if there's one thing that I'm grateful for, I am grateful for the patience of God. You know, the Bible says the Lord is patient toward us. He's not willing that anyone perish, but that all come to repentance. The heartbeat of God is for the whole world to be saved. And to prove the point, just go to the cross. That's what we celebrated last Friday. It was Good Friday, the death of Christ. And here we are today celebrating the resurrection of the Lord and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But anyway, that night, that was January 15, 1984, I got down on my knees at the altar. I repented of my sins, asked Christ to come into my life. And that was 36 years ago, and I haven't gotten over it. And 2 years later, while I was coaching football at Liberty University, I answered God's call to the ministry. And for the last 34 years, our GoTel ministries have been traveling all over the world, really telling the Easter story, how Christ died on a cross for our sins and how he was buried and rose from the dead. And so I just want to remind everybody on this call this morning that the resurrection of Christ, which we're celebrating today around the world, is the greatest event in the history of mankind. In fact, Christianity is the only religion that can claim their leader died and came back from the dead. And then I'm reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul, who was against Christianity and was against anything that had to do with Christ, and of course met Christ on that Damascus road. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is empty. And JJ, there's no need to have these 10 a.m. phone calls, spiritual phone calls, if Christ has not risen from the grave. So I just wanted to share in the few minutes that I have, really my text this morning is out of Matthew chapter 28, a very familiar passage on this special Easter Sunday. And here's what the Bible says, beginning in verse 1 of Matthew 28. Early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, the Bible says Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the mother of James, went out to visit the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. An angel of the Lord came down from heaven, the Bible says, and rolled aside the stone, and he sat on it. And the Bible says his face was shined like lightning. His clothing was white as snow. And the Bible says the Roman guards shook with fear when they saw the angel, and they fell into a dead faint. That's powerful. And then the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified on the cross, but he isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said he would. Come, see where his body was lying. And now," listen to these words, "and now go and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." Many people have asked the question, is there life after death? Well, the empty tomb is proof that there is. In fact, the angel said he isn't here. He has been raised from the dead. That is the greatest news the world has ever heard. And if somehow we could find a cure today for the coronavirus, that would be great, great news. If we could find a cure for cancer, that would be great news. But it wouldn't be greater news than the resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ is the heart and the core of the Christian faith. And if you don't believe in the resurrection, then you can't have salvation. You can't go to heaven. Because the Bible says in Romans 10:9, if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. What a great promise. And then, as a minister of the gospel, to preach the gospel for all these many years, I've asked people many times, would you like to have a new life? If a person dies, can he live again? Well, the answer is yes. If there was a time when you sincerely placed your faith in Christ, believing that he died on the cross for your sins and that he was buried and rose again, you can have a brand new life. You can have eternal life, and you can have your name written in the book of life. And not only here on earth can you have life, but you can have life in the life to come. In fact, Jesus said it this way. He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." So the Bible clearly teaches, because Christ lives, we also can live. The greatest truth in all the world is the fact that Christ died, but he rose again. In fact, over 20 times in the New Testament, Jesus said these words, "On the third day, I will rise again." So as believers, when this brief life comes to an end, and by the way, the book of James says life is like a vapor. It appears for a little time, and then it vanishes away. When this brief life comes to an end, and they bury your body in a grave, you can have the assurance that you will rise again into a brand new life with a brand new body, living in heaven for all of eternity, and that's good news. I heard a song early this morning. A buddy of mine in Florida texted me a song by Bethel entitled, "There Ain't No Grave Gonna Hold My Body Down." And the Bible tells us, as children of God, as a child of God, Christ lives in you. And this is your assurance that you will share in his glory. Not because of anything we've done, but because of what Christ did through his death, burial, and resurrection. So when a person truly commits and surrenders their life to Christ, everything in their life will change. 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any person be in Christ, you become a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. If any person be in Christ, they become a new creation. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Everything we have belongs to God. Our minds belong to God. Our bodies belong to God. Our talents belong to God. Our time, our money, our possessions, our hearts, our will, everything belongs to God. Someone said that our eyes become the eyes of the resurrected Christ to show his love and care to meet the needs around the world. Our lips become the lips of the resurrected Christ to speak his messages. When Jesus was on the earth, the people said, "We have never heard anyone talk like this." So our lips are his lips. Our ears become the ears of the resurrected Christ. And I pray that all of our ears will become sensitive to every cry of spiritual need. Our minds become the resurrection of Christ. Our minds become the mind of the resurrected Christ. In fact, the Bible teaches that you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had, Philippians 2:5. And so I just want to encourage all of us, man, yield your mind to Christ. And then our hands become the hands of the resurrected Christ. I have often said, God has no hands but our hands. He has no feet but our feet. He has no tongue but our tongue to share how Christ died on the cross and rose again. The living Christ wants to live in your heart and give you the power to live the victorious life. So in closing, the Bible says that the power that raised Jesus from the dead on that first Easter will raise you from the dead if the Spirit of God lives in you. Maybe there's somebody on this call today, and maybe you don't know the power of the resurrected Christ. I just want to encourage you, have you ever knelt at the foot of the cross? Have you knelt at the foot of the cross? Have you repented of your sins? And have you asked Christ to come into your life? 3 days ago was Good Friday, the day that we all remember 2,000 years ago, how Christ suffered and died on the cross for our sins so that we could have salvation. He took your judgment, he took your sin, he took your death so that you could escape hell and gain heaven. And so I'm just going to ask right now, everybody on this phone call, wherever you're at, if it's possible, I'd like for you just kind of close your eyes right there where you're at. I'm in my study here in my home, but I want you to humbly bow your heart before God. If you want to know the power of the resurrected Christ, and you're ready to turn from your sins, and you're ready to receive eternal life on this Easter Sunday morning, then I want you to pray this prayer of repentance in your heart to God. Just pray this. Say, "Dear Jesus," just pray that in your heart. Say, "Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. And I believe that you died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that you were buried and rose from the dead." And then say, "Right now, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins, and I invite you to come into my life to be my Lord and Savior." And then say, "Thank you, Jesus, for loving me, for dying for me, and for saving my soul today." And if that was the attitude of your heart, if you just prayed that prayer of repentance in your heart and you really meant it, according to the Word of God, He has saved you and He's given you eternal life, because the Word of God says that the greatest promise in all the Bible, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I told you at the very beginning of this phone call, I got saved as a 25-year-old football coach in Lubbock, Texas, on a Sunday night, January 15, 1984. And I have never gotten over what God did in my heart and my life that night. In fact, I went home that night, picked up my phone, and called my parents and told them long distance what God had just done in my life, and stayed up that night to about 3 o'clock in the morning reading my Bible, my dusty Bible that was sitting on a shelf collecting dust. But that night, I fell in love with the author of the Bible, and his name is Jesus. And the next morning, I walked into the head coach's office at Texas Tech, and told him what God had just done in my life and began to share with all the coaches on that staff what God had just done in my life. And so I just want to say in closing, if you invited Christ into your heart today, let it be known. Don't be ashamed of what God has done for us on the cross. And you may want to share it with JJ. In fact, JJ, I would like to send you some of our books to give out to some of your folks. And if they prayed that prayer of repentance, inviting Christ into their life today, and they were sincere, I want to encourage them to let you know or let somebody know, and I'd like to give them all a book. Let me close in prayer before I turn this back over to JJ. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for this great company that puts you first. And I pray your blessings upon all the employees and their families. And God, that you will keep a shield of protection around this great company, around the leadership of this great company, and around all the employees of this great company. And God, I pray for your perfect will to be done in the hearts and the lives of everybody who makes up this great company called Texas Transeastern. And I pray you'll continue to bless and use this company for your glory and for the advancement of the kingdom of God. We bless you and we love you. And Father, thank you. Thank you that we can serve a risen Savior. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Man, thanks, Rick. What a great, powerful, to-the-point Easter message. It all comes down to the resurrection. Dying on the cross was only part of it. It all comes down to the resurrection.
Amen.
If, like you said, if Jesus hadn't risen, we wouldn't be talking about Easter and we wouldn't be talking about salvation. Thanks
Amen.
So much for spending time with us. I pray that that somebody on this call made a decision. What better day than Easter Sunday to make a decision for Christ? But thank you so much for being with us. For those in Houston, I was just going to mention at 10:30 on Channel 2 and 11, Second Baptist Church, a church I go to, will be there. The Easter service will be on Channel 2 and 11 at 10:30. And the one little personal note on it, New Song has a song called Arise, My Love. And they are doing... not New Song, but the church is doing Arise My Love as part of the service this morning. And I saw it last night, and they did a wonderful job. So if you're in Houston, I encourage you to tune in. Again, it's Channel 2 and 11 at 10:30 this morning. Well, Rick, again, thank you so much for spending this Easter Sunday morning with us. I feel like you made a difference and made an impact, and I look forward to seeing you soon, brother.
God bless you.
All right. Have a great day, everybody. Happy Easter.